Well, as we begin this new sermon series, I have a question for you from the reading we heard from Julian just before in Acts chapter 11. What do you think chapter 11 of Acts and the kind of current global events making news have in common? I want to make a link tonight between those two things because firstly, I'd like to say to you that I think there is a link. There's a common theme of community transmission in the news, and I see it also in Acts chapter 11, perhaps an altogether different activity, but the same idea of spreading across the nations. And secondly, there's a common theme in our current news media and in Acts chapter 11 of dealing with difference, overcoming hurdles of hostility and division. Let me explain more. But before I do, let me say I am very aware that I could be accused of taking advantage of two genuinely quite painful realities in our world at the moment just for the sake of a catchy sermon title, and that's viral for the series. It's especially true, I think, that I might get some bad mail on that, but I think I'm not at all trying to amplify people's pain or genuine suffering or loss. I'm not making light of those big issues by choosing this new title for a new series of viral. I'm also aware that there's some irony in this title because there are plenty of people, critics of the church around the world, who would see the church as a kind of virus or a pandemic and would prefer the church was eradicated, and maybe it's clergy too, like me. So I get the irony. But nevertheless, as I read chapters 11 through 18 of the book of Acts in our New Testament, I can't help but see this theme of the rapid spread of the gospel to the nations. And at the same time, I see these incredible images of people overcoming significant hurdles of historical hurt and hatred. So this makes this an interesting journey, I think, this sermon series for us all. If you've got a Bible close by, you might like to open to the book of Acts, chapter 11, and just that portion that we heard, a small part of that I'm going to focus on tonight, beginning at verse 19. And I'll put on screen for you now just verses 19 through 21. Let's have a look together at this important time of community transmission of the gospel of Jesus back in the first century AD. It says, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that took place over Stephen travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, and they spoke the word to no one except Jews. But among them were some men from Cyprus and Cyrene who, on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord." As you look at the text in the scriptures, can you see how fast the good news of Jesus spreads in this instance, and in quite an unexpected way? It's as a result of persecution of the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem. You see, the first people to become followers of Jesus en masse were Jewish people, some who lived in Jerusalem, but many who had travelled from far-flung places across the Roman Empire to come to Jerusalem for festivals, like the festival of Pentecost that's described in Acts chapter 2. And some of them stuck around having become believers in Jesus, met in the temple portico and in house churches with the apostles as they learned from the apostles about the story of Jesus and his significance, and as they shared in prayer and hope. But when a severe persecution broke out against the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem a little while later, and you can read about it, for instance, in chapters 7 and 8 of the book of Acts, that's your backstory for today. Some of it being perpetrated by none other than a guy called Saul of Tarsus, who becomes a big figure in the New Testament with a new name, Paul, the Apostle. That's another story. You can read chapter 9 of Acts for that. When all this persecution broke out, many of those Jews who'd accepted Jesus as Messiah or Christ fled to their homes far away from Jerusalem, and some of them went north. And of course, they took with them in their hearts the testimony that Jesus is the Lord and Saviour of the world. And this brings great joy and peace to the good news of the gospel. Now, one of those cities was Antioch. And it was in ancient Syria, north of Jerusalem on the Orontes River. You would have heard later in this reading from the book of Acts chapter 11. It says they came down from Jerusalem, well, from the higher altitudes to where the river mouth enters the sea. This was the third greatest city in the Roman Empire at this point in history. Not only that, most significantly, I think, it was a city that was a great multicultural hub. So that you had people in this city who represented many of the nations of the world. Now, we're told in Acts 11, many of those fleeing that persecution in Jerusalem for Christians only spoke with their Jewish neighbours on returning home to Antioch and other places, maybe to their extended family. Hey, I've heard about Jesus. He's the Christ. It's good news. But in Acts 11, verse 20, if you have your Bible open again, you can see that some of them on the way through Antioch to other places shared their testimony about Jesus to what the Bible refers to as the Hellenists. Now, in some translations, you'll see the word the Greeks, and it could just as well have been the Gentiles. Those three words interchanging from the point of view of a Jewish person in the first century and meaning people of any other nation, and particularly their language and culture reflecting that of the ancient Greek world, which permeated right across the Roman Empire at that time. I like to think of Antioch as gospel ground zero. And I do that because it's there that a whole bunch of so-called Gentiles became Christians through the testimony of others for the first time. People from many backgrounds and different nationalities. And a church was formed there. And as you heard in the reading, there was opportunities to teach and grow a church, that disciples were learning about Jesus and gathering in prayer, even from all those different backgrounds. In Acts 11, verse 21, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, tells us, "The hand of the Lord was with them, those who shared the gospel, and a great number became believers and turned to the Lord." Gospel ground zero. So this passage firstly commends to us the fact that the gospel spread quickly from Jerusalem. And we know, don't we, that good news travels fast. That's going to be a common theme throughout this sermon series. Last week, all people in Victoria, I think, were waiting with bated breath for good news. They were desperate to hear whether a young boy who was lost in thick bushland on Mount Disappointment would be saved from freezing conditions after a couple of days of going missing. Now, when the news eventually broke that after 47 hours, that young boy, an autistic teenager, William, when he'd been found, that good news travelled so fast. Every electronic device in Victoria just flicked on with the news in an instant. And the good news was celebrated with great joy that he was found. I heard the testimony of one of the SES volunteers who was part of the search party and interviewed him on the news. He said, "Everyone's heart exploded with joy when that news was announced." Good news of what the media then called a miracle spread rapidly and passed from one Victorian to another and then went viral across the world. It was reported on the BBC and at CNN and other places, especially the fact that the SES vehicles and police vehicles played the Thomas the Tank Engine theme out through their windows aloud to attract the attention of the young boy. And it was a great story that brought great joy. When you look back at our passage from Acts chapter 11, you can read into the story and see around the whole text and further into the chapters of Acts, this similar sense of rapid transmission of good news and the great joy experienced by those who received it. Of course, in this case, it's the good news that God loves us. It's the good news of Jesus bringing love and salvation to all the people of the earth. Now, it's this all people part of the gospel message, of this equation, that leads me to the second theme that's common between Acts 11 and the current news media features of our day. And that's the theme of dealing with difference and division. If you've got your Bible open again, have a look from verse 22 of Acts 11, and I'll put some of it on screen again for you. It says, news of this, that is news of people responding to the gospel, people of this international background. Well, all this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, it says in verse 22. And so they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and saw the grace of God there, he rejoiced. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast devotion. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it says, so it was for an entire year they associated with the church there, taught a great many people. And it was in Antioch that the disciples of Jesus were first called Christians. As we'll see in the coming chapters of Acts in our series, believers in Jerusalem could not believe their ears when they heard what was happening in Antioch. There's a clue for you about this theme of dealing with difference that will appear throughout our series. Gentiles were being welcomed by God into all the blessings that Jewish believers received, as it's described, for instance, on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. They were receiving the same blessing of the Holy Spirit that Jewish believers were receiving. So they send Barnabas. He's introduced to us earlier in the book of Acts as well. Look at the end of chapter 4. He was originally from Cyprus, so he's a good one to send. He knows the territory, probably travelled through Antioch back and forth a lot. But also he was a man of generous encouragement. We find that out in his profile earlier in Acts. And Luke wants to put a positive spin, I think, here on the sending of Barnabas to investigate what's happening in Antioch. But don't be mistaken. As we'll see in future chapters, part of the motives of the Jerusalem Christians was that it was incredibly difficult to believe the news that Gentiles were being included. Hence the idea of dealing with divisions in this text. Really, they're saying to themselves in part, have the enemies of the Jewish people really become Christ people? Christians? Now, I don't know about you, but when you read the New Testament Gospels, for instance, and you see all this talk about so-called Gentiles, there seems to be a lot of enmity towards them from some of the characters who are Jewish in the gospel. What's the deal there? Is it just that Jewish people were nasty in the first century? No, that's not the inference in the Bible at all. You see, there's a big backstory to this deep-seated difference and division between Jews and Gentiles in the first century. What's the deal with the Greeks then? Well, there's a big backstory indeed. This statue, I don't want to talk too much about statues at the moment in our news media, but here's one of a guy who you'd want to knock over and get rid of. Let me tell you, if you were a Jewish person and you saw this statue. Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus the IV. He was a Hellenistic king of the Seleucid Empire from 175 BC until his death in 164 BC. He was the son of King Antiochus III, the Great. And get this, although his original name was just merely Mithridates, he gave himself the name Antiochus Epiphanes because it means God manifests. So it gives you an idea of the kind of position, office, ego, and the subsequent damage that he did to so many people during his reign. Among the many barbarous exploits that he is renowned for is the intense persecution of Jews in Judea and Samaria during his reign, including the story you may know of the rebellion of what were known as the Jewish Maccabees. You know, Antiochus sought to wipe out Judaism from the earth. He burned their scriptures, for example. He even sacrificed pigs in their temples, knowing that in their rituals and their culture, this was a profane act. He moved them on from location to location, gradually, systematically trying to dilute and dismantle their culture and their worship altogether. You see, in first century times, the way probably every Jewish person regarded Greeks or Gentiles was through the lens of knowing what Antiochus had done to their forefathers, their ancestors. There was a sense in which Antiochus represented what all the other nations thought of the Jews. And as they were marginalized even in Rome, this was a further sense of victimhood. There was a really deep-seated historical hostility that lies behind the things we see in the New Testament in those conflicts. So now imagine again hearing the news from Antioch that Gentiles are being just freely included in all the blessings of God through the gospel of Jesus and receiving the same blessing of the Holy Spirit that we saw Jews receive when they followed Jesus. Imagine how unthinkable it is to get into their shoes at that time and think, this is mind-blowing. For us, we get to look at the Bible and we run through the Old Testament. We see the promises and prophecies that all the nations are in the program of God's saving grace and love. Even in our reading from the Gospel of John tonight in chapter 12, you heard some of Jesus' Jewish friends who had become his followers. They meet some Greeks at a particular festival and they say, hey, can we get to, you know, have a bit of a chat with this Jesus guy? Sounds pretty good. Well, they have to go and check with Jesus. Would this be okay? Because it's unthinkable to them that Jesus would want anything to do with them. And of course he says, what are you talking about? Whoever wants to be my servant can. And that's mind-blowing to them. It starts to unfold their current mindset. But to us, we know God's plan and program has, is, and always will be for all the nations. And that becomes clear in the progress that we'll make through this series. So despite it being fundamental, we see it's difficult for these first Jerusalem Christians to see the inclusion of Gentiles because it was blocked by a huge wall of historical hostility in their minds. Have a think of the sort of images that are in your social news media, socials all around the place, newspapers if you still read them. Images like the ones I've got on screen are pretty common at the moment. People dealing with historical differences and divisions and hostilities that are often deep-seated. It's a real connection here for us tonight to consider. And I want to put this to you. Lest we see the gospel of Jesus as merely some kind of means for personal religious piety, as if it's just for individuals to find their own assurance with God, that God loves them and that they'll go to heaven. If that's what you think the gospel's about, Acts 11 to 18 will blow your mind. Because in fact, we should realize the Bible itself sees the work of Jesus in his life, his death and his resurrection as bringing shalom and reconciliation to all the peoples of the earth, bringing peace. And that shalom, that reconciliation, requires of the people that wouldn't normally get along together to find a way in God's grace to become one in a shared identity through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel does. That's something we need to bring into the scope of what we understand the good news to be and why it indeed brings great joy. So the connections that I can see tonight between, just as we begin this short part of Acts 11, and the common things in our news media today. Acts 11 shows us two areas of common ground, that the good news of Jesus spread rapidly in the ancient world. And in part, this was because it was a cure for deep-seated historical hostilities, bringing shalom and reconciliation in the place where difference and division existed. Don't get me wrong, there's plenty of struggles, even in the churches that we'll look at along the way in Acts. But this is the purpose and power of the gospel that's on show and it's promised in Christ. You know, it's common for Christians today to say to me, I'm not sure that my neighbour, you know, is going to see the gospel of Jesus relevant to them today in the 21st century here in Melbourne. And yet right before our eyes in Jesus is the great reconciler, the Prince of Peace, the maker of a new humanity of harmony, and you're holding your mobile phone with all this new stuff in the other hand. Perhaps it's the church's manner of mission, its presentation of the gospel, its living out of the good news that needs to change. For if our presentation of faith truly showed that Jesus is the way of peace and reconciliation, that good news of Jesus would indeed spread rapidly in our world right now, I think. Imagine with this picture on screen that the lighting up around the nations represents followers of Jesus who take reconciliation with others seriously through the grace of God. Imagine the impact it could have everywhere, fast, with great joy. Reconciling differences and divisions because it's the Spirit of God who makes that work happen in the lives of those who trust Jesus. So let's make this both our prayer and our mission and our daily expectation as we learn more from the book of Acts during this series. And take pause tonight to ask yourself, is the good news of Jesus bringing great joy to you because it heals divisions? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the good news of Jesus, for Jesus himself, and for all the hope we have in him. Make us aware of the shalom and reconciliation, and give us great joy from discovering it again and sharing it with others. Amen.